This is University Beat. I'm Mark Schreiner. During the course of her career, University of South Florida Sarasota Manatee Associate Professor of Literacies Education Jody McBrien estimates she's visited 36 different countries. Number 37 is Japan, where McBrien is serving as a visiting scholar at Soka University in the Tokyo suburb of Hachoji. While she's teaching a course in International Perspectives on Education, McBrien will also be researching another project, how Japan is resettling displaced people from the Middle East and Asia, particularly Syria. We spoke with Jody McBrien about her research via Skype.
Japan has recently piloted resettlement of refugee families and students, and they've only been doing it for a few years now and very small numbers. I mean, literally less than 20 for the first several years of resettlement. This year, they are instituting a brand new program for Syrian refugee students of higher education. And a number of Japanese universities are hosting Syrian refugee higher ed students, including my university here, Soka.
The U.S. has ongoing lawsuits over its screening processes for refugees from the Middle East. Do you happen to know how Japan handles their screening processes?
Yeah, that's something I'm going to be finding out, to be honest with you. There is not a whole bunch about that in the article that I found. And so I have been in contact with three resettlement agencies and one organization of teachers of Japanese language who've been working with refugees. So I'm going to actually be interviewing Japan's UN High Commission for Refugees, and I'm sure they'll be able to tell me all about the government's process.
And now, we've spoken before on University Beat with you about your work with Ugandan refugees who've been resettled around the world, particularly here in America. What have you seen that's different between Ugandan refugees and Syrian refugees, even though they're coming from kind of similar situations with civil war and escaping very bad situations?
I think one of the differences is the numbers. Syrian refugees are the highest numbers in the world. And I think with such a huge amount of refugees coming out of one country, they're also facing issues of, well, certainly in the United States, there's been a terrible backlash against them. The unfortunate backlash in believing that they are terrorists, which is not true, that didn't really happen to the Ugandans. We've got issues like that that they are facing that are quite different.
And your research has also taken you to Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and now Japan. What's similar about refugees and resettlements in all of those places?
You know, language is a huge, huge issue, as well as the post-war after effects on people's emotions and their psychological stance. Sometimes there are physical health issues involved because of the strain that they have journeyed through, you know, through war, through refugee camps, through the journey. And so those issues typically follow refugees wherever they go. My guess is I'm going to hear similar things. What I'm very interested in is seeing if the Japanese have different ways of going about supporting some of these needs.
You've traveled to, you think, about 36 nations over your career, and you've been over in Japan for a couple of weeks now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How have you found the country so far?
Well, we came during Sakura, which is the cherry blossoms, and it is absolutely spectacular. I've never seen anything quite like it. The Japanese look at cherry blossoms as a symbol of the beauty and the fragility of life. And literally, since we've been here, we have watched a tree go from beautiful blossoms to where it is now green. So it's absolutely beautiful. The people are very friendly. I have learned conversational Japanese, but I can't read it. And so that's created some real fun in the grocery store. I bought something that I thought was sugar. It was salt. I bought something that I thought was milk for my tea, and it was actually some kind of vanilla drink that curdled when I poured it in my tea. So it's kind of the fun journey of immigration, something that I wish all of my students could experience, because they will be teaching immigrants in their classrooms, and it definitely creates an empathy when you're in the situation yourself.
And I assume you're near an airport?
No, we're not. I don't know what that horrible sound is. I guess it's a motorcycle.
Let me ask you this, kind of following up on that idea. Is this a different experience for you where, I mean, normally you deal with people who are learning a new environment, displaced from their homeland, and now you're kind of doing the same thing yourself, are you not?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I've done it before. I actually wrote an article about it when I did a Spanish immersion program in Panama that was also sponsored through USF. We were told to only speak Spanish. We had 3-hour classes in the morning, and I would be exhausted by the end of it. And so, you know, I really came to understand Latino children in our classrooms who are listening only to English and struggling to understand why they might fall asleep at their desk. They're exhausted. It's very, very hard. I said to one of the office administrators this morning, I said, I feel like a child because I couldn't read the printer. And so we couldn't get the heat to work the first night we were here because we couldn't read the Japanese instructions. So it's, you know, it's a great experience. So I wish more people had this experience so that they could really become much more empathetic to newcomers in our own country.
All right. Well, Dr. McBrien, you will be teaching at Soka University in Tokyo, as well as conducting the research through July of this year. We will definitely want to check back with you probably when you get back to the States later this summer. But once again, thank you very much for joining us on University Beat.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.